When we give our heart and love, sometimes it gets broken. More on that thought from our teacher, Mike McIntosh.
When we do give our heart, it's going to be broken. And if you don't want a broken heart, then don't ever love, is what he's basically saying. But Jesus said in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so God's heart's been broken, I'm sure.
And I'll stand up and shout, and I'll praise you, Lord Jesus. And I'll stand up and sing, and I'll thank you, Lord Jesus.
On today's chapter and verse, Mike continues our survey of the book of Mark with a message we've titled, The Great Tribulation. Again, our text will be chapter 13 as Jesus continues his conversation with Peter, James, John, and Andrew. They asked him privately to share what would be the signs of the end times. Although no man knows the day or the hour of the Lord's return, what Jesus shares with these men should be taken as a strict warning of the times we live in. Let's join Mike now in Mark chapter 13 for our message, The Great Tribulation.
We love to shout your name. In Zechariah chapter 3, I believe it is, verse 1, it says that Joshua the high priest was standing before the Lord at his throne, and Satan was there to resist him. And the Lord turned and rebuked the devil and said, "The Lord rebuke you." And when you look up in Strong's Concordance, the word Lord, God chose Yahweh. So by no other name, he just rebuked him by his name. It doesn't say what happened to him, but I bet he shriveled up when that happened and crawled away. We're in the second part of chapter 13 of the Gospel of Mark, if you'd like to turn there. We're dealing with the end times in this chapter. We looked at half of it last Sunday evening. We're going to pick this up right around verse 13. If I could, and just read forward, verse 14, rather. So when you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not, let the reader understand. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains. Let him who is on the housetop not go down into the house, nor enter to take anything out of his house. Let him who is in the field not go back to get his clothes, but woe to those who are pregnant and to those who are nursing babies in those days, and pray that your flight may not be in winter. For in those days there will be tribulation such as has not been since the beginning of the creation, which God created until this time. If you've never seen that before or noticed it, you may want to circle that verse. It's very powerful what he says. Tribulation just has never been seen since the beginning of the creation, what God created until this time, nor ever shall be. And unless the Lord had shortened those days, no flesh would be saved. But for the elect's sake, whom he chose, he shortened the days. Then if anyone says to you, "Look, here is the Christ," or "Look, he is there," do not believe it. For false Christ, false prophets will rise and show signs and wonders to deceive, if possible, even the elect. But take heed. See, I have told you all things beforehand. But in those days, after that tribulation, the sun will be darkened, the moon will not give its light, the stars of heaven will fall, and the powers in the heavens shall be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds with great power and glory. And then he will send his angels and gather together his elect from the four winds, from the furthest part of earth to the farthest part of heaven. Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and puts forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see these things happening, know that it is near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all of these things take place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. But of that day and hour, no one knows, not even the angels in heaven, nor the Son, but only the Father. Take heed, watch, and pray, for you do not know when the time is. It is like a man going to a far country who left his house and gave authority to his servants and to each his work. And he commanded the doorkeeper to watch. Watch, therefore, for you do not know when the master of the house is coming, in the evening, at midnight, at the crowing of the rooster, or in the morning, lest suddenly he find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all, watch. Lord, we'd like to ask the Holy Spirit that you would allow him to come into our hearts and speak to us and teach us according to Jesus. He said it was expedient that he must go, that the Comforter may come. And that when he does come, he shall lead us and guide us into all truth. You've given us signs and warnings, but you also let us remember we don't know the day or the hour, nor did you or the angels, but only God the Father. And because of that, we should all be alert all the time. We don't know if you're coming in the middle of the night, first thing in the morning, middle of the afternoon. So help us to learn that lesson, if nothing else. So take these verses and bless our hearts with truth and knowledge and understanding. And may we fear you, Lord, with an awesome respect, knowing that you see from the beginning to the end, and we are just made of clay. So be gentle with us when you deal with us, please. In Jesus' name, amen. I want to read something to you that I wrote down here. This is from C.S. Lewis, a brilliant thinker. He wasn't always a Christian. He was an atheist. And then he started searching the Bible, and he became a Christian. One of the greatest writers ever in history. A friend of mine, Woody Wirt, Dr. Sherwood Wirt, was the founding editor of Decision Magazine for Billy Graham. He worked for Billy for 22 years. He was the last person to ever interview C.S. Lewis before he died. And it was so thrilling to sit with Woody and have him tell me what kind of a man he was and how brilliant his mind was. And this comes from a work of his called The Four Loves. The Four Loves. To love at all is to be vulnerable. Love anything, and your heart will be wrung and possibly broken. If you want to make sure of keeping intact your heart, you must give it to no one, not even to an animal. Wrap it carefully, round with hobbies and little luxuries. Avoid all entanglements. Lock it up safe in the casket or coffin of selfishness. But in that casket, safe, dark, motionless, airless, it will change. It will not be broken. It will become unbreakable and unpenetratable. And it will become unredeemable. To love is to be vulnerable. When you read this, what we just read about all of this horrible stuff that's on the way, you'd think God was a horrible God, but he's not. He's a loving God. He became very vulnerable to all of us, like C.S. Lewis is, by letting his son die for us. And I like the part about an animal, because you can love an animal. I had a dog like that, that wherever I was, that dog was right beside me. If I was in the living room, kitchen, in the swimming pool, going for it, that dog never, ever left where I was. If I was in a room, the doors closed, that dog was right outside that door. And I didn't ever have to put her on a leash or train her. I'd just look at her, and she knew exactly what to do. But when it was time for her to be put to sleep, I just couldn't do it. It broke my heart. So I'm glad he put that there, because when we do give our heart, it's going to be broken. And if you don't want a broken heart, then don't ever love, is what he's basically saying. But Jesus said in John 3:16 that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would never perish but have everlasting life. God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. And so God's heart's been broken, I'm sure. In Isaiah, it says that it pleased him to bruise his son. Any of you that are dads, it wouldn't please us to bruise our sons. But it pleased him because in the New Testament it said, who for the joy that was set before him endured the suffering, even the suffering of the cross for you. You were the joy that was set before him, your soul. So it's that tremendous love that spans eternity that he gives to the church, that the church is supposed to shine into the world so that the world could see the Lord. And so we're going to look at some things that really sound ugly, and they are ugly, but in God's wisdom, it's his creation, and he's been trying to talk to it for a long time, and it turns away from him. So he's going to judge those that don't want him, and he's going to make something brand new. And you want to be in the brand new part. You want to be born again. So I want to point out a couple of things here from the New Testament and the Old Testament for you in light of this judgment that we see that is coming here. First of all, so when you see, verse 14, the abomination of the desolation spoken of by Daniel the prophet, standing where it ought not or it shouldn't be, let the reader understand. That's very important. You can understand this. Then let those who are in Judah flee to the mountains. All right, now number one, he mentions Daniel. That is Jesus authenticating the book of Daniel in your Bible. You know where it is? Right after Isaiah and Ezekiel and Jeremiah, Daniel pops up. Extremely wise man. God used him up until his 80s, maybe up till 86, I think, is one age that some commentaries have. And this guy was fearless when it came to standing up for what was righteous, and God used him. The second thing is, Jesus called him Daniel the prophet. So now you can trust that what Daniel says is prophecy. I want to just show you a few things out of Daniel this evening. Would you turn there with me first? And we'll take a look at Daniel. And he's right after Ezekiel. And we're going to start at, I'd like to show you a couple things in chapter 7, okay? Daniel chapter 7. Let's look at verse 1. First year of Belshazzar, king of Babylon, Daniel had a dream and visions of his head while on his bed. And then he wrote down the dream, telling the main facts. Daniel spoke, saying, I saw in my vision by night, and behold, the four winds of heaven were stirring up the great sea. Four great beasts came up from the sea, each different from the other. The first was like a lion and had eagle's wings. I watched till its wings were plucked, and it was lifted up from the earth and made to stand on 2 feet like a man, and a man's heart was given to him. And suddenly another beast, the second one. The first one, of course, is Babylon, which all of their graphics you see from history books are a lion with wings. Suddenly, a second beast, like a bear, it was raised up on one side and had three ribs in its mouth between its teeth, and they said thus to it, arise, devour much flesh. That was Persia. Today, Persia is called Iran. And they said thus to it, arise and devour much flesh. And after this, I looked, there's another one. This is Greece, like a leopard, which had on its back four wings of a bird. The beast also had four heads, and dominion was given to it. And this I saw in the night visions, and behold, a fourth beast, terrible, awesome, dreadful, exceedingly strong. It had huge iron teeth. It was devouring, breaking in pieces, and trampling the residue with its feet. It was different from all the beasts that were before it, and it had 10 horns. Kingdoms were under its control. And of course, that was the fourth great world empire, Rome. I was considering the horns, which is a sign of authority or power. There was another horn, a little one, coming up among them. before whom three of the first horns were plucked out by the roots. And there, in this horn, were eyes like the eyes of a man, and a mouth speaking pompous things. I watched till the thrones were put in place, and the Ancient of Days was seated. His garment was white as snow, and the hair of his head was like pure wool. His throne was a fiery flame, its wheels a burning fire. A fiery stream issued and came forth from before him. 1,000 thousands ministered to him. 1,000 thousands, I think, is about 1,000,000. 10,000 times 10,000 stood before him. 1,000,000 servants. Isn't that amazing? The court was seated. The books were open. I watched. And then because of the sound of the pompous words which the horn was speaking, I watched till the beast was slain and his body destroyed and given to the burning flame. As for the rest of the beast, they had their dominion taken away from him, yet their lives were prolonged for a season and a time. And I was watching in the night visions, and behold, one like the Son of Man coming with the clouds of heaven. He came to the Ancient of Days, and they brought him near before him. Then to him was given dominion and glory and a kingdom, that all peoples, nations, and languages should serve him. His dominion is an everlasting dominion which shall not pass away, and his kingdom the one which will not be destroyed. Verse 15, I, Daniel, was grieved in my spirit, within my body, and the visions of my head troubled me. I came near to one of those who stood by and asked him the truth of all this. So he told me, and he made known to me the interpretation of these things. And he explains this, the four great world empires. But look at verse 20. 10 horns that were on its head, and then this other horn which came up, before which 3 kings fell, namely that horn which had eyes and a mouth which spoke pompous words, whose appearance was greater than his fellows. I was watching, that same horn was making war against the saints and prevailing against them until the Ancient of Days came and judgment was made in favor of the saints of the Most High. And the time came for the saints to possess the kingdom. The fourth beast shall be a fourth kingdom on earth, which shall be different from all other kingdoms, and it shall actually devour the whole earth, trample it, break it in pieces. The 10 horns are kings who shall arise from this kingdom, and another shall rise after them, and he shall be different from the first ones, and he shall subdue 3 kings, and he shall speak pompous words against God, against the Most High. He shall persecute the saints of the Most High. He shall intend to change times and law. And then the saints shall be given into his hand for a time, times and a half time. And this is a period that is defined as three times, time being a year, times 2 years, a half time, 3.5 years of 42 months. And the time and times and a half. But the court shall be seated. And in the book of Revelation, we have 42 months where this Antichrist is going to come on the scene. The church will be gone at that time. He will look like he's all about peace. The temple is going to be built. And then in the middle of the 7 years, the last 7 years that have not been fulfilled from Daniel's prophet, he's going to put an image of himself that speaks inside of the temple and say that he's God and everybody should worship him. And then, as Jesus mentioned, there'd be tribulation like has never been seen since the creation. Horrible times. So he's listening, and Daniel says something for all of us, and I was grieved in my spirit. It's very upsetting. So we always need to pray, God, help me. Help me understand. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of understanding. Look at verse 26. But the court shall be seated. They'll take away his dominion. So the son of the devil is going to lose his power to consume and destroy it forever. And the kingdom, dominion, and the greatness of the kingdoms under the whole heaven shall be given to the people, the saints of the Most High. His kingdom is an everlasting kingdom, and all dominion shall serve and obey him. This is the end of the account. As for me, Daniel, my thoughts greatly troubled me, and my countenance changed, but I kept the matter in my heart. Now, when Gabriel comes in chapter 8, he's talking to him. Look at verse 23. In the latter time of their kingdom, when the transgressors have reached their fullness, a king shall arise. He's going to be having fierce features. He understands sinister schemes. His power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. So the devil is going to give him his power. He shall destroy fearfully. So there's six things. Well, actually, there's 10 things. Let me point them out to you. Number one, a king shall arise. Number two, he's going to have fierce features. Number three, he understands sinister schemes. Number four, his power shall be mighty, but not by his own power. So he's going to give himself to the devil. He shall destroy fearfully. He shall prosper and thrive. That's two more. Here's six. He shall destroy the mighty and also the holy people. Through his coming, he shall cause deceit. Remember, Jesus said, let no man deceive you. He shall cause deceit to prosper. You ever hear of fake news? That's deceit, and it's prospering. It's prospering all over the globe tonight. Under his rule, he shall exalt himself. That's number eight, in his heart. Number nine, he shall destroy many in their prosperity. He shall even rise against the prince of princes, against Jesus. He's going to turn against the Lord and his name. But he shall be broken without human means. That's a mystery. He shall be broken without human means. I don't know if it's artificial intelligence or what's going to do it, but he's going to be broken. The vision of the evening and morning which was told is true. Therefore, seal up this vision, for it refers to many days in the future. And I, Daniel, I fainted. I was sick for days. Afterwards, I arose and went about the king's business. I was astonished by the vision, but no one understood it. Now, you may have thought of this already, but you and I can understand it. Why do you think he sealed it up and said, this is the end times and it's going to be sealed up till the end times come? Well, you see, in Mark, you just read that Jesus said, and when the abomination that makes desolate is spoken of in Daniel the prophet, there's the first hint that we have that he's opening up the prophet, Daniel, and what was sealed is available to the church. So you can understand what Daniel couldn't understand. So it's opened here. And then when you go in the book of Revelation, you read about this leader that comes and of the horrible things that he does, takes the nations and has a cashless society, one world religion. And he's a horrible human that's been possessed by the devil. We see that his power doesn't come from himself. It's been given to him. So he sold his soul for the devil to empower him. So here we are in the end days. Look at chapter 12 of Daniel. At the time Michael shall stand up, the great prince who stands watch over the sons of your people. And there shall be a time of trouble, such as never was since there was a nation. Now, isn't that interesting? This whole thing is sealed up, and we just read Jesus said there'll be a trouble like never in all of creation. Even to that time. And at that time, your people shall be delivered, everyone who is found written in the book. And many of those who sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, some to shame and everlasting contempt. Those who are wise shall shine like the brightness of the firmament. And those who turn away to righteousness, turn many to righteousness, shall shine like the stars.
One day the Lord will return. The question is, are you ready? And if you're ready, what about those around you? Our neighbors, friends, co-workers, family, and even perhaps a spouse. Are you sharing the love of Christ with them? Is your life an example and witness of Christ's gift of salvation that he offers freely to all who would accept him? May I encourage you to live boldly for him. We'll continue this message, The Great Tribulation, on our next broadcast of CNV. In its original presentation, there was over 1 hour of material in this teaching, so we'll be devoting 3 full broadcast days to this study. We know that your schedules can't prevent you from hearing all of each day's broadcast here on Chapter and Verse. For that reason, you can review this message online when it's convenient for you. Just log on to our website at MikeMacintosh.com. That's MikeMacintosh.com and click on the teaching link and then go to the sermon page for not only this series through Mark, but nearly the entire Bible from Pastor Mike. Again, log in at MikeMacintosh.com and look for the Mark 2018 series. Be sure to tune in again next time as we continue our look at the Great Tribulation as told by Jesus in the book of Mark. Chapter and Verse is presented by Horizon International Ministries.
And I'll stand up and shout.